Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Thursday, opening day for Major League Baseball. A couple games tonight. The Braves play tomorrow against the Mets up in New York. We'll talk to Brian Jordan about that game and about the Braves season finally getting underway, coming up in about 25 minutes. Mike Soroka and Jacob DeGrom to start the season tomorrow, Jason, which is going to be fun in and of itself, but I was reading this morning, I didn't realize this. Mike Soroka in his career, two starts against Jacob DeGrom, both wins for the Braves. Both times he's risen to the occasion and outpitched the, if not the best, one of the two or three best pitchers in baseball. Hopefully tomorrow afternoon is the same.
Yeah, need a good start to get this going from Soroka, and it's a tough matchup. I mean, this is, you talked about it, the pitching should be ahead of the hitting right now.
Should be.
Two great pitchers to start it off. We'll see, you know, what kind of run support they get.
I also wonder, because we know that they're going to be really careful with workload early in the season, and rightfully so. If Soroka is dealing, you know, if he makes it through the lineup once and he's thrown, I don't know, 25 pitches or something like that, or 30 pitches, and he's really going, and it's the fourth inning, and I know they want to limit these guys to two, three innings, four innings in, early in the year. Like, do you stick to the script exclusively, or do you still have the freedom to kind of play it by ear at that point? I mean, it's game one of 60. You probably should be as safe as possible, but every win is magnified by 2.7, like we've been saying. Like, if DeGrom and Soroka are locked in a really tight battle early in that game, I don't know. You get into the heat of the moment. It's going to be really interesting to see how all of the things we've been told about the way that they're going to manage these things sync up with the way that they actually manage them when they get in the moment. Like, everybody's got a great plan until you get in there and emotion takes over and, all right, he's pitching good. He feels fine. I'm going to keep throwing him out there. I wonder how long they'd actually let him go if he's going great.
I don't think they'll push it. I don't think you can. Yeah.
And be smart not to.
It's what makes it so hard for the managers. We've talked so much about pitching and hitting, and there's a bunch of rule changes and all kinds of weird things like that. The manager's job this season is so different than normal because you have to balance health, you have to balance workload with the fact that every game's worth about three.
Mm-hmm. You do. And I think Snitker, being that he's been in baseball for as long as he has, and I having the perspective, hopefully, of just being through so many battles, will be able to manage that emotion. And maybe not everybody will. Because, you know, again, you get into it and competitive juices start to flow and adrenaline takes over and it's like, screw it, I'm throwing him back out there. He's got a no-hitter going through four. I'm throwing him back out there. I think Snicker's pretty measured in the way that he manages most of this stuff, and hopefully he remains that way. We'll find out tomorrow when Mike Soroka takes on Jacob DeGrom to start the season. We'll talk to Brian Jordan about that 20 minutes from now. The Wendy Zone at 11:40, as always. We'll get there, but let's kick off the 11 o'clock hour with an NFL no huddle.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go! Set!
NFL No Huddle brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. And like we mentioned a little bit earlier, the Falcons quarterbacks get to report today and test for coronavirus. I know the rookies reported earlier this week. Matt Ryan, Matt Schaub, and the rest of the guys get to get in there today and get tested. And I'm interested to see what comes back, especially when all the players get to get in there next week. We've seen with all these leagues, Jason, the first round of testing tends to have a lot of positives because guys have been out and about doing their normal lives to the extent that you can these days, and haven't been in that routine yet. But then once they get into the routine, even with baseball where there's no bubble, you start to see the test numbers go down and down and down. And a lot of these sports, they've gotten to the point where they've got zero positives over the last rounds of testing. I'm hopeful that that's the same thing that happens in the NFL.
Same here. It's tough because right now you've got guys who are asymptomatic, but they might test positive. They don't know they have it. And even as much as you are careful right now, you have to go get groceries. You have to stop and put gas in the car. You have to do things that put you at risk. And I saw it in the Premier League in England, players who tested positive and they're like, I haven't done anything. I went to the shop to pick up some groceries. I guess that's what happened. It's going to happen. You're going to have positive tests. I don't think it's something to freak out about when you get those first results. It's the second round, the third round, the fourth round that are so important.
Yeah, and I think just as a fan base or as a collective society, we've changed the way that we react to a positive test. I mean, you remember back to when Rudy Gobert was the first athlete to test positive and they shut everything down. And rightfully so. Like, we didn't know anything about it at that point. More guys were getting it, and they shut everything down. Now somebody gets it, and you say, okay, we expected that. Now we're going to quarantine them. Then we're going to test them again. And if they don't have it, then we'll test them again. And if they don't have it, then they get to come back. That seems to have, I don't know, changed the way that we've all been thinking about it, rightfully so, because I think maybe we know a little bit more about it now.
It has. But all the sports that we're in so far.
But positive tests don't stop everything like they used to.
No, and all the sports we've been in so far, you've got Rudy Gobert tested positive. Only one other player tested positive with the Utah Jazz at that point, before we really knew anything. Look at Atlanta United, for example. You had two players test positive while training here in Atlanta, and it didn't spread through the team. You know, that's the thing. Now, football's a little different. You worry a little bit more because you have more prolonged periods of time that you are in close proximity to players. But if everybody tests negative and they're doing everything they need to do off the field, you should be okay. But we're all figuring this out on the fly.
Yeah, and the thing that we keep going back to is off the field is great. In building protocols are great. Once they start playing football, though, there's no way to socially distance while you're playing football, which is why it's so important that before you get to that point, you're taking every precaution to make sure that you don't have it. Russell Wilson talked earlier this week about how he's been practicing while also wearing a mask. Here's Russell Wilson.
That's going to be crazy if we have to do that. You know, I've actually been practicing with it, though, every day just so I can get used to it if we have to. But, you know, we're already out there already, you know, so it's a little bit late maybe for that. But we can't take this time for granted in sense of health and safety. You know, it's such an important time. You know, it's really, really important that we do it the right way at the highest level. And
yeah, I mean, if that's where they go with it, I have a hard time believing that's what they would do. I know that they've thrown some of those prototype helmets out there that kind of have the face covering as well, which I think kind of look cool, but maybe hard to play in. Good for him for practicing in it and getting used to it if they have to do it. He's right. At that point, it's probably too late. All the testing and the protocol and the safeguards that you have up before you get on the field are what's supposed to stop it from getting on the field.
Yeah, if you're thinking about wearing a mask playing, then the protocols, the testing is not believed in, and then it's pointless. Yeah. You have to do the testing to make sure that you don't get to that point. That's the number one element to returning to play, and that's why I've been so baffled at the college level, why there hasn't been consistent testing plans put forward from the NCAA, because if you do that and everybody is clear and you're not putting a player on the field who is potentially a carrier, then you're good to play.
Which is also funny about why they're not going to let them swap jerseys after the game. Like, if they just played a game.
This happened in the Bundesliga too, though.
Oh, they did?
No, this happened where initially coming in, you had all these protocols about you can't hug after a goal, you can't celebrate after a goal, you can't do these things. And then once you get comfortable, and once you understand the testing is doing its job, the protocols are doing their job, that stuff starts to go away. The Bundesliga changed that. They stopped worrying about potentially punishing players for celebrating a goal. They got away from that. That's kind of changed and evolved. That's how this is going to go too. I think early on, you have to be vigilant and very strong in all your protocols. Your bench has to be socially distanced, all those things. But once you have that confidence in the testing and in the protocols that you're doing to play safely, you can start to relax some of that other stuff because you shouldn't have the virus inside the team.
There will also be social distancing going on inside the stadiums. The Falcons announcing yesterday that at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, they're expecting seating capacity to be reduced to between 10,000 and 20,000 this year. And if fans are actually allowed in the stadium, and it is between those numbers, all fans, according to the NFL, this was announced yesterday as well, will be required to wear a mask. Makes sense to me. If you're going to be there around all those people, do whatever you can to be as safe as you can while you're there. I still don't know if I fully believe that there's going to be fans in stadiums when the games get underway and about a month and a half from right now, but they've got time to figure that out. What I also wonder is, say the Falcons do allow fans in the stadium and say they sell 15,000 tickets to a home game. What are those ticket prices going to look like?
I don't think they'll change it. I don't think they can really afford to do that right now.
Secondary market ticket prices. What are those ticket prices?
There you go. That's what it's going to be, because that's going to be ridiculous. This is just really difficult, because my question is, you get 10, 20,000 in the building. You set up where there is nobody sitting next to them. Now, remember, the fans aren't taking a test to come in the building.
Nope.
So it's a whole different conversation than the players. And they'll be separate from the players. So it doesn't affect the players' safety in that. And any chance that the fans could get anywhere near a player, that needs to be kept aside. You have to keep them separate. But what happens once the game starts? You know, are the fans going to forget the social distancing and gather together and pull the mask down? And
right.
Do whatever. And then how do you handle it from a security perspective? Are you going to have to kick fans out when they do that?
I mean, you have to, right? I mean,
you have to.
If it's going to be taken seriously, that's what has to happen. It can't be like a, you know, you go to a game for a bad team. Everybody's been here before. And you buy the cheap upper deck tickets. And then when the game starts, you start working your way down. We've all done that before. You're not going to be allowed to do that, though. Like, the reason that they have everybody spread out is because you're not supposed to be close to each other. It's not because people didn't buy the tickets to get close to the action. I don't know. The logistics of trying to get 10 to 20,000 people into a stadium and social distance correctly and enforce it and expect everybody, when something exciting happens in a game, to remember all that stuff. And once, you know, you're tailgating before, you're drinking, you know, you're maybe not making decisions the same way that you would be making decisions otherwise. It's very complicated. I hope they can figure it out. I hope you can have 20,000 fans, whatever. I hope by the time the season gets here, you're able to have a full stadium. It just all seems unlikely to me.
I hope the fans are responsible about it, too. They're going to have to be. That's going to be part of the equation.
I hope so, too. And the other thing about it is, are people going to want to go? I've seen poll questions about that, and it's always pretty split. People say, you know, I'll make the decision when the time actually comes, or hell yeah, sign me up, I'm going. Or I'll go if I wear a mask. I mean, there's a lot of different feelings about going and being in crowded areas right now, and we're still a month and a half away from it. So the NFL has the ability to wait and see as far as that goes. So last week, obviously, the story came out of Washington about the owner of their football team and the culture inside their front office. There's now a story about Woody Johnson and some of the culture inside the Jets front office. And like, I don't know what the NFL is going to do about all this. Like, I think I'm not saying every owner is going to have this history. I think that's unfair to just cast that wide of a net. But I mean, if you start investigating a lot of these front offices, you're probably going to find behavior like you saw in Washington and like you're seeing with Woody Johnson in New York. And again, I don't know. I don't know what the right thing is to do. We've seen in the NBA, the league take action to take a team away from Donald Sterling.
Right.
I know that there are some people that want that to happen to some of these owners in the NFL. I don't know what the right thing is to do.
I don't either. I don't know what you're going to be allowed to do legally either. This is all really new territory. When it comes up, you have to deal with it, though, if you're the NFL. You have to address it when this happens, and now you've got another situation potentially brewing with the Jets.
Yeah, what we're talking about with Woody Johnson is reporting about racist comments and sexist comments Similar to what we were hearing about what happened in Washington as well. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they do. It's not surprising to me that you're hearing more stuff like this. But
yeah, the difference in this one though is these are directly attributed to Woody Johnson.
To Woody Johnson,
right?
Yes.
And it's not the ownership maybe not paying attention to a negative culture.
Right. It looks like the Seahawks are interested in re-signing Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon, who's been on a handful of different teams in his NFL career, and unfortunately hasn't been able to stay on those teams because every single time he gets suspended. John Clayton of ESPN reporting that the Seahawks are interested, and once he gets reinstated, that they're going to re-sign him.
29 years old. How much does he have left in the tank?
I think a lot. Like, every time he plays, he does well. He just can't stay on the field because of testing. Now, they're not testing for everything that they used to test for. So maybe that's beneficial for Josh Gordon. I mean, the most important thing for Josh Gordon is actually getting clean and not just being able to play because they're not testing for certain things. But he's still good. I mean, he played limited snaps for the Seahawks last season. But when they threw him the football, he caught it. I mean, he's been good wherever he's been when they throw him the ball. It's just a matter of staying on the field.
Wilson's made it clear. I mean, he was pushing for Antonio Brown. So yeah, he wants some help in that receiver core.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do that, too. If they just, like, the
both
Seahawks
have
the track record, why not? Pete Carroll, welcome anybody. He wants everybody there. Plus, those guys are good. Like, they have the belief that their culture can handle all that stuff. Whether it can, I don't know. I mean, they've been burned a couple times in the past. But I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. All right, we'll come back. Brian Jordan going to join us from Fox Sports South. The Braves start their season tomorrow. Baseball is back tonight. Brian Jordan joins us to get us ready. Coming up next, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coronavirus. The outbreak of the coronavirus has affected us all here in Atlanta, and it's made some changes in the sports world as well. As the stories continue to break, we're here to give you the latest. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Thursday. Opening day for Major League Baseball, July 23rd, just like we expected. The Braves start tomorrow as well. Jason Longshore filling in for Randy McMichael today and tomorrow. And Brian Jordan joining the show on the WadeFord.com hotline to get us ready for the Braves. Brian, it's opening day, which feels weird. How are you? I'm sure you're very excited to be getting back to work.
You know, I am very excited, and you're right. It's good to finally have opening day for the Braves this year. I mean, we're all excited after last season, but it's going to be different. Mm-hmm. But hopefully the last time we had a shortened season, the Braves won the World Series, so hopefully we can repeat that.
That's a great point. It's a great point. 1995 was a shorter year. Maybe this year does the exact same thing. How do you get ready for that? Like, maybe it's an impossible question to ask. I know you were in the league in 95. It's not nearly as short then as this is, but like, how do you mentally prepare for what this has been? How do you make sure that you're engaged as you need to be for a 60-game sprint versus a normal 162-game season?
Well, I don't think anybody can answer that question, man. But as a player, you know, you just have to keep yourself motivated and keep yourself in the best shape possible. And, you know, you look at a season of 60 games, you have to be prepared every single day. And it's a sprint, so you can't afford to have slumps. So you have to kind of change your game in a sense. You know, a lot of guys playing on that last year of that contract, I mean, there's so much pressure on these guys that you just have to be mentally prepared. Those guys like Freddie Freeman, who had to go through the coronavirus, didn't see a lot of live pitching. In our minds, you know, I'm quite sure he's such a professional that even though he was going through it, he was keeping himself mentally in shape, watching video, watching different pitchers, trying to keep his timing together the best way he can. And, I mean, that's true professional. You got a job to do, and you have to be ready regardless of the circumstances.
Brian, you talk about the players preparing. How do you think the managers are going to prepare and handle all those in-game decisions differently with each game meaning so much?
Well, you know, every game is going to be different. You know, you just hope that, you know, you have that full arsenal of healthy pitchers. It's going to be different for everybody. And you're right, the managers are going to have a tough time trying to figure out, you know, how do we move these dominoes around You look at the Braves lineup. I mean, you have so many decisions to make because you got so much talent on this team. And you just hope that the starting pitchers and the bullpen can stay healthy and you can rely on them on a consistent basis. The last thing you want to do is try to rush a guy out there and he gets injured. I think it's a great thing to keep Cole out and until he's ready. But, you know, we're going to be relying on him big, you know, late in the season. So, you know, it's a puzzle. And as a manager, you got to work every different day to figure out what piece goes where. And I think Brian Snicker is great at it. And, you know, that's why he's in that position.
Brian Jordan joining us from Fox Sports South, getting us ready for the Braves opening day tomorrow. And I'm sure you heard what Folty said after his start a couple days ago. I mean, he said stuff kind of like this before, some excuse making. If you're a teammate of his, do you hear that stuff? Is that something you pay attention to if you're a Braves teammate of Folty's?
No, I mean, you know, you just hope that, you know, when the light comes on, he's ready. Of course, you can get away with that in exhibition games, but when it matters, there's no more excuses. And he's under the microscope. You know, he's had his great times with the Braves, but he's had some bad times with the Braves. So, you know, everybody's still judging what we know what his potential is, but you know, we're waiting for him to get there. And I think this is a year that, even though it's a sprint, you know, you got to be able to see whether you can rely on him in the near future.
How do you feel in general about the starting rotation?
You know, we're so young that you're always going to have that question mark in the back of your mind. You know, we got mixed in with a couple veterans. I wish Felix Hernandez wouldn't have opted out.
Me
that
too.
That veteran experience is so important. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you just hope these young guys can look at it as simulated games. You know, there's the pressure to me is off a lot of these guys. You know, when young guys come in games and they see 50,000 fans, it's different. But to go out there and there's no fans, it's almost like they have to go out there and pitch a simulated game. And and a lot of times these young guys are very successful in that situation. So having this youth in this bullpen and starting rotation, I think could be a good sign for the Braves this year.
Where do you stand on the simulated crowd noise? I know Fox, not your Fox, but Big Fox is going to have fake fans, like computer generated fans in the stands on the TV broadcast. Or I know the Braves are having cardboard cutouts. What do you think is the most reasonable way to go about it as a player? Like, you're out there in the outfield. What would you most like to see?
You know, I don't mind the crowd noise because it's going to be missed as a player. Doing something great. And, you know, you're going to miss the booze also. You know, a lot of players like myself,
are you?
I got motivated by the booze. So,
okay.
You know, some players love that to be in those situations. It's definitely going to be different for these guys. Intensity-wise, you know what you're playing for. So I don't think that's going to change. But having that in baseball, that 10th player, which is the fans, you know, in your ear, motivating you, pumping you up, it's going to be missed. And some guys, you know, are different than others, you know, may struggle through that.
We know the stars, the big names, the people that everybody's expecting to perform for this team. Who's an under-the-radar player that you think needs to have a big season for the Braves to accomplish everything that they're trying to?
You know, for me, I think Rowley, I think he has great potential. And, you know, if you just let him go out there and play and he gets off to a good start, I think he's my underdog right now. If he gets the opportunity and he can be consistent and relax. Again, guys, you talk about young players that, you know, the biggest problem with young players coming up is the difference of fans. You know, you go from minor leagues, you got 2,000, 3,000 fans, no big deal. But you go to 50,000 fans, it's a big deal. And a lot of guys struggle through it and not make it out. Like we saw Rowley, you know, have such a tough time coming out of it because of the added pressure of going out there and performing in front of fans. Well, Now I think Riley's going to relax and let his talents take over and have fun in this game. So I'm crossing my fingers, but that's my underdog.
Brian Jordan joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline from Fox Sports South. Braves opening day tomorrow against the New York Mets. And I think, look, if the Braves are going to make a run like we all think they are, there's going to be contributions from under-the-radar guys. There's obviously going to be contributions from the stars as well. And Ronald Acuna was a Rookie of the Year, All-Star. What's next? I mean, there's a lot of odds makers that have him favored to be the MVP of the National League this year. If Acuna makes the next jump, and it's crazy to say that because he damn near went 40-40 last year, is amazing. What is the next thing he adds to his game? Like, what is the tool or the addition that Ronald Acuna needs to make himself even better?
Well, I think Tom kind of summed it up in the first broadcast. You know, how does he get better? His defense has to get better. You know, making bad choices has to get better. He's going to have to start maturing as a player and understand that, you know, everybody's watching. And you have to give 100. If you want to be the best, you got to give 110% in every aspect of your game. And, you know, he has some growing to do defensively. He has to get better there. And, again, he has to understand that the microscope is on him. He is that player, that next superstar that everybody's watching. So every time you walk or you hit a ball off the wall thinking it's a home run, you know, you learn from that from last year. And that's what I'm waiting to see. Has he taken a step forward mentally, and has he matured, you know, as he continues to move forward? I think that's what we're going to look for. If he wants to be a great player, he has to make those steps.
How do you feel about this possibility that's been floated out there today about an expanded postseason?
I don't mind. I mean, this is the year. If you're going to try some stuff, you know, go for it. Open up the bag, you know, because I don't think, you know, the fans are going to mind. And I don't think, you know, players may mind. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's about entertainment and playing for the fans right now and giving it all you got. I know the fans would love it. And right now in this situation where fans can't come to the ballpark, you have to cater to the fans in my eyes. So, you know, try it all. I don't care. It'll be fun to watch.
What exactly is Brian Jordan's role with Fox Sports South this year? I know everything's different and studio shows at different places and all that kind of stuff. How are we going to be able to tune in and see you in the extra medium polo shirts?
Well, we got to wear suits, so because we're in studio, so I hate the fact that I'm not out in the battery showing my guns off. But, you know, it's nothing different, man, besides we're going to be working out of the studio. I don't think they want to take any chances of us being out at the battery and, you know, with all the fans and you know, putting our safety on the line. So we'll be coming into the studio and work. It's as usual, you know. Pre-game show, post-game show, and hopefully with the new pitching rules, we're not playing four-hour games.
Yeah, you'd have to think. and hopefully celebrating a lot of wins in those post-game shows. Brian, we appreciate it, man. As always, we'll talk soon.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
Brian Jordan there, Fox Sports South, the big news. All the shows will be in studio, Jason, so no gun show from Brian Jordan at the Battery.
It's a sad day for lots of people around Atlanta.
Yeah, it's a sad day. Certainly a sad day for Brian. All right, we'll come back and get to the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams joins us, as she always does, at 11:40. We're going to go inside the bubble down in Orlando, where one player has already been drug tested. How? How has it already happened that a player has been drug tested? Well, we'll find out who and why coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, radio.com out.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here we go.
He jams.
They score!
And it is good.
Our Atlanta Hawks, United, and Falcons play here because the game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
I'm a lady.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more.
Fame, 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 fame.
This
This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you're not hungry, you become average.
Care, it's people care. It's the Wendy Zone every single day at 11:40 on the midday show with Andy and Randy. Earlier today, Wendy said that she wishes that there were cheeseburger vending machines. That is a true story of something that happened in a conversation that me and Wendy
had. I am in on this.
I wish there was a way we could figure out how they could exist and still be fresh, because that would be a dream.
There's that.
Yeah. That was my concern, is how
that was a good
often
they're
going to have to restock it. This is like, that was the start of a conversation. Out of nowhere, apropos of nothing, Wendy just goes, you know, I wish that there was cheeseburger vending machines.
I think a hot dog vending machine might be better, though. That might be easier to pull off.
But sometimes, Jason, you just want a cheeseburger. I don't.
Oh, honestly, no, I'm with you.
I don't know where this thought came from. It was just all of a sudden, that's my thoughts. Welcome to the inside of my brain. It's going great in there.
It's the Wendy Zone.
But there has to be a technology where the actual machine could cook the burger. Like, if you give it good meat, like, there's got to be a way to make it correctly. I agree.
Yeah, if you can, like, there's like a refrigerator portion, and then when it's time, it would take a minute because you have to cook it.
Well, even if it was like a 2 minute machine, like you would wait 2 minutes for a burger. That's essentially sitting in a drive-thru.
Sure, I would.
You can get whatever toppings you want on it, put whatever kind of cheese you want on it.
Yeah, this is another example of a million-dollar idea that if you just did it, like you. Somebody's gonna do it, and then you're gonna say, "Damn it, I thought of that."
Well, let me go ahead and like pull out my toolbox and see what I can do to put this machine together.
Give us a prototype. I'm gonna buy some lottery tickets. And I think we'll be good.
You ever have that happen where you thought of something and then somebody actually creates it and they get rich off of it?
I'm sure there's a million things.
Yeah.
I did like those little alcoholic like suckers or popsicles or little things that you could get in the liquor store. They make those now.
Yeah.
Which was great. Oh, wow. I was like, oh no,
you
should
have just done it. Well, I thought of the damn radio.com DVR thing, like the so you can rewind
thing that we have.
And now that they finally, I thought of that like 10 years ago, and I never did it. So, I mean, I can't really claim any rights to it or whatever. I'm glad radio.com did it, and they're like part of our company. But I thought of that thing a decade ago. I should be a millionaire by now. And instead, here I am.
Well, isn't
just
it?
Just a schmuck.
Since I'm speaking it like right now, if someone were to hear me and then take my idea. I technically had the idea first, so is it mine?
True. I don't know.
I don't know patent law. Yeah, and intellectual property and all that.
Man, we went to school for the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
True.
We should have been engineers and patent attorneys, and we are neither one of those. But yes, please make the cheeseburger vending machine if you're listening, and just give me 10% of the profits, and we'll just call it easy.
Just give me free cheeseburgers. I'm good.
Well, money's
give me the
fine.
Code.
Well, money's also great too, yeah, Jason. We kind of like both. You guys want to go inside the bubble?
Yes.
NBA Bubble Burst. The latest news popping out of Orlando.
I'm starting to really enjoy this, to be honest.
So dumb.
Because it's so fantastic. Because there's always a story coming out of the bubble. There's two stories today. If we don't get to the second, we can always get to it tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, last night we saw scrimmage action, correct? Mm-hmm. So you had I think, 8 teams play yesterday total.
Did you see Bol Bol, by the way?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought him up.
Okay.
He was amazing. So he played last night. He had 16 points, 10 rebounds. 6 blocks in 32 minutes. It's a scrimmage game. Denver beat Washington. Mm-hmm. And he was fantastic last night. He was all the rage. And then the Denver Post's Mike Singer tweeted the following. Bol Bol was scheduled for a random drug test after this game, per Nuggets PR. So you have a good game in the bubble, a good scrimmage game in the bubble, and you are still getting drug tested following the game. What are we doing?
Well, he did go to Oregon, so I understand their thought process.
No, you remember that the restrictions.
Gotta be careful.
The restrictions are different now. Remember, in the bubble, they're not testing for certain things.
Right.
That's right.
So Oregon is fine.
I'm still curious as to how those things are getting in the bubble.
I'm just saying, Oregon athletes in general should always be suspected of the worst. Well, so I think it's smart that the NBA went about it that way. Yeah, their fan base, exactly. All of them. Anyone associated with the University of Oregon. It is ridiculous. I mean,
a scrimmage game.
Yeah. And I think he played good, but like it didn't seem to be, you know, performance enhanced. He's 7'2". He blocked a bunch of shots. It was ridiculous to see him, a 7'2" human, dribbling down the court and pulling up for three. Like, that was insane to see.
I kind of want to stand next to him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's crazy. Like, and if he can play, and him and Jokic can play together, can you imagine? Like, the twin towers that have guard versatility? Unbelievable if they're actually able to make it work.
Crazy to try to defend that.
So they're not testing for everything. What are they testing for?
I don't know. Drug-enhancing, performance-enhancing.
HGH or something like that?
Maybe.
Like,
but I just don't understand. I just don't understand it after a scrimmage game. It makes no sense. We just want basketball. I don't care if you're enhancing anything right now because I just want to watch sports. You do you.
Yeah, don't drug test this season. Like, let them enhance.
If they can find a way to get it inside the bubble.
Right?
I mean, if you're having problems getting, like, Uber Eats and people are breaking quarantine because they stepped over a line to pick up their takeout food, you know, if you're getting this stuff in, more power to you, I guess.
Yeah, and if there was ever a time you wanted guys to maybe be partaking in what's legal in certain states in this country?
Yeah, good.
Isn't
good
right now the time? Like, they'd be less likely to do anything. Like, you know, get a couple gummy bears, you lay on the couch, eat some Uber Eats, and you don't go out and contract the coronavirus.
Are you talking about Haribo gummy bears? You know, just the standard?
No, okay. I'm talking about edibles. And I'm saying, like, if there ever was going to be a time when they were encouraging players to ingest marijuana, right now would be the time. I know you can't do that, but
can't do it in Georgia.
They can do it under the table.
Florida. Can't do it in those states. If they were playing playing in Denver, perhaps. But
there you go.
The Denver Nuggets were not playing in Denver. Speaking of the bubble, I'm just wondering if you guys would be willing to make this sacrifice, because I think if I was this player's sister, I'd be really ticked off. Jason, I don't know if you have siblings. You have siblings?
I do.
Okay, you have siblings. Andy, you obviously have siblings. Mm-hmm. Well, Alex Caruso decided to skip his sister's wedding, which was held in Austin, Texas, on July 18th, in order to remain in the bubble. Now, this is the situation. He could have faced anywhere from 4 to 10 days in quarantine, perhaps missing maybe 2 games on the Lakers. So you have LeBron James on the Lakers. I'm just saying, as his sister, and he and his sister are pretty close, he skipped his sister's wedding to remain in the bubble instead of potentially missing games for the Lakers in the playoff situation.
That's really tough, because in a normal world, pre-coronavirus, yeah, you can't do that. But in this world where it's going to affect your job in a pretty significant way, that's tough. That's a tough decision to be in. It would depend on how long that quarantine is. 4 days and 10 days, very different.
I would have to hope that they talked about it. Like, hopefully him and his sister talked about it, and she gave him the blessing to do that.
She did.
But, like, if I'm her, I'm like, well, okay, Alex, what about Zion Williamson? He left the bubble to go deal with a family situation. What about other athletes that have left the bubble? I'm not worthy of a family emergency.
I'd be like,
my wedding,
Alex,
doesn't matter to you.
Alex, you're not LeBron James, Alex. You're Alex Caruso.
Hey, take it easy. All right. Alex Caruso is a hero. And now that Avery Bradley is no longer on the team, he's one of their most important perimeter defenders. But I understand what you're saying. Also, I'm surprised the wedding even happened. Like, most weddings have been canceled this summer.
I've seen plenty of weddings carry on. I'm sure they've asked guests to take the coronavirus test. So I never assume that people who attend these weddings that are going on right now haven't been tested for coronavirus before they actually go. I just found it surprising because family over everything in my mind, or usually.
Yeah.
Usually.
Depending on the situation. I just think it was worth a couple of.
Kill me.
Right?
If I didn't go to their wedding, no matter what the situation was, they would disown me. Like, they wouldn't talk to me anymore.
I don't know. This is so different, though. Yeah, this is just such a different world. It's not like having to take a couple days off work and travel and all that. This is complicated.
It is. But if we learned anything, let's just be very careful about protecting the integrity of Alex Caruso's importance to the Lakers championship run. Alex Caruso is a hero. We'll come back. We'll get to the most important audio in the world, including Trae Young may have a new celebrity super fan on his side. We'll tell you who that is coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.